Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here we go. This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Dawson.
I'm Sam Delaney.
Welcome along to the latest episode of the Keane Odyssey 2. We're looking back at Roy's first autobiography, quite simply called Keane. And I don't know.
What do you want to call it, first of all? Roy Keane. Call it Roy Keane's book. Well, they were thinking maybe something a bit shorter. All right, then, Roy Keane. Shorter still. Keane. How about Keno? No, fuck off. Keane, that'll do it. Keane. What more do they want from it?
It works on two levels, Dunphy. It works on two levels. It's called, it's my name, but it's also what I am. I'm very keen about life. I'm keen to tell you
story. I'm keen about
story.
Playing football. I'm keen to tell you my opinions on other footballers. And I'm keen to get a lot off my chest, Dunphy, particularly about tickets. Tell them there's two choices for the name of this book. They can call it either Keane or Tickets.
The ticket tale.
Because I tell you, Dunphy, most of this book's going to be about tickets, how to get tickets, how to sort them, the shite that people give you over tickets. My battles with Mr. Ticket. See what the publisher think about calling it Tickets. No, I think we'll just stick with Keane.
I don't think I'll have that conversation with the publisher, Roy. I think I can already imagine
how that will
go. I
don't want to bother them with that.
Trust me. I've worked in books for a long time now. Whatever you say. Keane it is, then. We pick it up just after Eric Cantona had done the kung fu kick on Matthew Simmons.
Yeah.
Without studs, apparently. There's been a bit of dissent about this on the social media. Some people are saying that he was wearing mouldies, which is why the assault wouldn't have been quite as bad. But I think the fucking difference between going in with studs and going in with mouldies is pretty negligible. You know?
Studs can be metal, can't they? Studs are metal, whereas mouldies...
Did they not outlaw metal studs, or was that just my school in 1983?
I think you're thinking of the film Rollerball.
Oh, fuck yeah. That was a bit like my school in 1983.
Yeah.
During the miners' strike of 1984...
All of the miners, while they were striking, formed rollerball teams instead to pass
like that.
The time of day.
Because I grew up in a pit village, and the local pit was like a two-minute walk away from our school, so there was a picket line regularly, and then one day some of the bigger boys decided they were going to go on strike and have a picket line as well. And that was at the school gates, and they started throwing fucking bits of rocks and bricks at the teachers' cars, and the police had to come and break it up. And we got in the Daily Mirror, so that was quite nice.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
To have a riot in your school reported in the national press is a huge achievement.
Yeah, I thought so. It's one of the few things I remember positively about the school experience, but yeah, that was good. I wasn't involved because I was just a little soft shite. I just watched from afar and didn't get involved.
Best way you can spend your school days. You don't want to go to a soft school. You want to go to a school that's got rough characters, but that you're not fully engaged with.
Yeah.
Because then you still get to stand on the sidelines and watch bad things happening as a spectator sport. So it's still fun, but you don't have any personal risk.
Yeah, use it as a kind of a life lesson for later on. It's better than going to some kind of fucking Frank Lampard school. Where everyone's fucking...
Green card!
Yeah.
We shan't be striking. My father says that the miners are all work shy and they should just get back to work. And as a matter of fact, the coal industry is costing us more money than it's making us. Mrs. Thatcher is just making the tough decisions the country needs.
We'll enter into some negotiations, but we won't promise that the strike will come to an end. We will not give in to the miners' demands at this school.
Well, if they didn't want the policemen to hit them with sticks, perhaps they shouldn't have caused all the trouble in the first place. Those ghastly miners. I don't see My father is a coach at West Ham United. Why couldn't they get a job like that? If they need work so badly, I'm sure there's plenty of jobs out there.
It's not as if West Ham's the only football club. There's 92 football clubs. Surely that's enough for them to go around for coaching jobs.
Why don't they just do that? Then they wouldn't have to go down those ghastly mines all day with their blasted canaries in a cage.
I think they only like it because they get to be in a brass band and do choirs and things like that afterwards. You could do that at our school.
I don't know why they don't come and live down here. They could send their children to our school. It's very nice.
So,
Frank
yeah.
Lampard on the miners' strike.
Yeah. Has Lampard done a book? Has he done an autobiography?
No, I don't know. Probably. Apparently he writes children's books, doesn't he?
Oh, he does, yeah. I've read some of them with my kid.
Barrel of laughs.
Yeah, I've read some of them a few years ago. Fucking hell.
Yeah, Johnny and the Laminator.
Yeah.
Johnny's Magic Laminator.
It is. It's about a magic footballer that takes... I've forgotten the name of the kid now. I think the kid's called Frank in it as well. Fucking Frank's magic Fantastic football or something like that.
Francis was asleep in bed. It was like any ordinary night. He'd done his homework, put his pyjamas on, cleaned his teeth for 18 minutes precisely, read 4 chapters of the Bible, and was sound asleep by 8:30 p.m. He was 15 years old.
At 11:15 p.m, his butler woke him up. Something had happened.
At 11:15, he thought it was his butler. He heard a voice. Wake up, you soft little cunt. What on earth's that? He opened his eyes, and his favourite football, which he polished every night before bed to get the horrible mud off it, was talking to him in a gruff cockney voice, using all sorts of rude words. You fucking pathetic little shitbag. Who do you fucking think you are?
I felt afraid, but also slightly excited. What was happening?
Why are you talking to me, magic football? Because you need fucking learning, don't you, boy?
Put your fucking boots on, you cunt.
Don't make me get Lord Sebastian out. Lord Sebastian, the football. That fucking noncy hamster can't help you now, Frank. You punts.
We're going on an adventure. Get in the fucking car.
Put your fucking slippers on.
Very well. I'll come if you promise to stop using such horrible language.
I'll talk how I want, son.
Do you want a cigarette?
No, I certainly don't.
You better fucking smoke it, or I'll catch ya.
Oh, very well.
Then we got in his van and drove through the dark night. Don't ask me how a footballer can drive a van, but he could.
We drove to the docks. He said he'd been expecting a consignment coming in. I didn't know what was going on.
He made me have something called fanny powder. Although in my school they call it vaginal dust. The headmaster says we're not to have it. But he made me consume gallons of the stuff.
That's right, Frankie boy. You get that down, yeah. It'll do you the world of fucking good.
Everything comes back to fanny powder. So we've had an enchanted football there. It's driven Frank to the docks in a van for some...
And force-fed him fanny powder.
Every time. Where were we? Cantona.
An enchanted football. Fucking hell, that is actually an awesome idea for a book.
Yeah.
So in Frank Lampard's book, is there really a magic football?
Yeah, I think
so. He's fucking beating me to it. Typical.
Nah, we'll just twist it again a bit. It'll be all right. We'll come up with something. We'll put it on the list of things we're never going to do.
Yeah.
The Cantona thing. Yeah, Cantona was banned, obviously, for 9 months, or whatever it was, by the FA. United had already banned him for the rest of that season. And it was Crystal Palace in the FA Cup semi-final at Villa Park. And Roy played centre-half alongside Gary Pallister because Steve Bruce was injured. So I don't think United had all that much strength and depth back then because it was like, Bruce is out, who plays centre-half? Fucking Roy can do it.
Well, so Roy could do it, couldn't he? I remember.
Yeah.
I remember he used to play there, and when he did, he was always really good at it.
That was it. And there was talk about him dropping back there as well as he got older. People used to say, you know, he's a natural centre-half and he'll do that. He wasn't
tall, was he? He wasn't particularly tall. He wasn't short, but he wasn't the height of a centre-half, but it didn't really matter. Because if the ball was in the...
if the ball was to be the one, and you were, even if you had a good 3-4 inches, I'm probably like 3-4 inches taller than Roy Keane, but if there was a ball there to be won, and it was in the air, to be honest, if I saw Roy Keane coming up, I probably just wouldn't challenge for it.
Yeah.
So the height, and most players would feel the same way, so the height difference wouldn't have really been an issue for him. Because you think, he'll take my fucking head off with his elbow, the mad bastard.
I've just Googled his height, but it's come up in metres, and I haven't got a fucking clue what that means. 1.78 metres. 5'8.5".
5'8.5".
That's not much, is it?
Yeah, so I am considerably taller than him. But I would not take him on in an aerial battle, no.
He's about 1.5 inches taller than me. I would also not take on Roy Keane in any kind of battle.
After you, mate. Go on, go for your life.
Whatever you want, anything. Anything you like.
Get out of my fucking way!
Make you a cup of tea if you want.
Yeah.
He says, I played alongside Gary Pallister. Gary dealt with the aerial bombs. I picked up the runners and the bits and pieces. Pally is amazing. A terrific pro. He looks knackered in the warm-up. You think he'll never last 90 minutes. He's always there at the end. Fucking hell, Roy.
Famously out of shape footballer, wasn't he, Gary Pallister?
Me, Roy, we've got a tough one here today. My fucking angina's playing up something fucking chronic. Have we got Norwich? Fuck me. I ain't got no chance in this one. Roy, I'll just jump up and down and win some headers if I can. You do all the running around. Fuck. Have you seen me in Ayla anywhere, Roy? Fucking hell.
For fuck's sake, Pally. Yeah, look at the state of you. Why don't you stay back for extra training like me and doing all the running up and down? Oh, not for me, mate. Big Pally's from Middlesbrough, isn't he?
He is.
He's got the look of a... What do you call them again from Middlesbrough?
Smoggy.
He's got the look of a smoggy about him.
You think that? You think that certain people look like the city that they're from? He looks like a Middlesbrough kind of fella.
He does, yeah.
Yeah. I suppose...
I've never seen him... Well, Middlesbrough's the windiest place you can go to, isn't it? It's always blowing. I don't know if you've been there much, but if you're up in Middlesbrough, it's just fucking freezing and blowing a big gale the whole time. And he looks like he spent a lot of the time in a lot of wind.
He's weather beaten.
Yeah,
he's
weather beaten.
I try not to go there too much because it's like, as I grew up there was always chemical works, and you try and avoid that kind of shit if you can.
Yeah,
drive through, keep the windows up. Yeah. He's talking about football, and he says, every game you make scores decisions, the mental side of the game, the really difficult hidden part of football. The easy person to fool? Yourself. Ooh, deep. Fool yourself too often and you'll be out of Old Trafford. I can see it in others. Little things in every game. A cop out here, a cop out there. I can feel it in myself. That urge to stay in the comfort zone, especially dangerous for a United player, where there's always the probability that someone else will do the business for you.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah, I know what he means. I mean, there's in life it can be like that. Do you go that extra mile? Do you take that extra risk? Do you put yourself in a situation where you could easily get embarrassed or make a fuck up, or is it say or do you play it safety first?
It's you know what? It's exactly the same in the podcasting game as in football.
It is.
The temptation to cop out. Before we recorded this one, I said to you, do you want to record Friday's episode now on Monday afternoon and just knock it out on Friday morning because you're going away for a few days? Mm. And you said, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to do it on Friday. We're going to do it as a reaction to the Champions League fixtures of this week.
Yeah.
And you were right.
You were acting like Gary Pallister might act, mate.
Yeah, or Lee Sharp, more like.
Oh, yeah.
Cop out left, right and centre.
Come on, let's just get it out of the way now. No,
and get down a disco later on.
Yeah, I fucking tell you that the Champions League games are coming. They're bound to be really good. And our listeners, the cunters, tune in to us for one thing and one thing only, and that is insightful analysis of European top flight European football matches.
And I'd say to you,
and we would be letting them down. It would be remiss of us to overlook that. It's easy to forget with all this talk of fanny powder and the rest of it, right? But really, the core audience want our renowned insight to European football.
They do. I mean, I'd say to you, you know, we can fucking wing it. We can do Friday's episode now, do some predictions, and then read out some emails about fucking foreskins or something. And you said no. And you were right.
No. And you also said, it'll be fine. We'll just make up what the European scores were. We'll guess them.
Because we're so good at predicting.
We'll just guess what's happened. And then we'll pretend that we watched them, and we'll pretend that it is Friday, and we'll just talk in vagaries about the matches.
What we could have done, we could have recorded a different bit of podcast for each possible outcome
scenario.
And then I could have edited in.
If you think of all the possible permutations, though, mate, we'd have had to have recorded like 20 fucking different things. Anyway, you know my family are away, and I've got lazing about to do. Right, this is a tiny window of opportunity for me to just fucking laze about in my house doing whatever the fuck I want. I might re-watch the Lightly Lads movie. I liked it so much, I might re-watch it again today.
I'll go for it, wherever.
It's got the best bit in that, not the best bit, but a notable bit, is, well, there's two really, I'm really good at spotting little cameo appearances.
Right.
I've spotted two in it.
Is it your kind of hidden talent?
It's one of my hidden talents. All right. Is that I will always spot someone who's playing a minor role in a film when and it's from before they were famous.
Right. Yeah.
So there's a bit in the film where they fucking Bob and Terry have driven away from the caravan site with Thelma and Terry's Finnish girlfriend in the caravan. It's a bit far-fetched because Thelma and the other bird don't wake up because they just want to fuck off home because they're sick of their little weekend away. And they drive home, and the whole time they've driven away, they've been driving for like an hour, and the girls are still asleep in the caravan that they're towing along behind them.
Yeah.
And they pull up in a town outside a church just at some lights, at which point Thelma and the other girl wake up and think they're still on the campsite and say, let's go out to, like, I don't know, go to the toilet or something. They get out of the caravan. They find themselves in the middle of a fucking town. Bob and Terry just carry on driving, and they're there just in their nighties, right, in slippers. Anyway, in the middle of it, there's some sort of church service that's just ended, and the vicar's walked out with all of his fucking congregation, and he sees Thelma and the Finnish girl in their nighties, and he does a sort of a vicar's face, you know, and a vicar's surprised by something. Ooh! Right? And then he comes over and offers some assistance. Well, you'll never guess who the fucking vicar is.
It's
fucking Ian McDimmerind, the fucking Emperor Palpatine out of Star Wars.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow.
Way.
Fucking
What's
hell.
Amazing is he looks pretty middle-aged in it.
Already.
And this is like 10 years before, well, it's about 8 years before he turned up in Return of the Jedi. And about 20 years before he reprised his role in all the prequels as a really scary baddie.
Yeah.
And he's playing this vicar. And he's in it quite a lot. And then there's another bit when they're in Terry's block of flats. And there's a running joke where every time one of them tries to get in the lift in the block of flats, there's a girl who he knows, a young girl from the flats, who's getting off with her boyfriend inside the lift. Because that's where she goes to avoid her dad finding out. The girl... is fucking out of Birds of a Feather, not Pauline Quirk, the other one, the
blonde
one.
Linda Robson.
It's fucking Linda Robson, mate.
Whoa. Fucking hell.
And Linda Robson's doing a bit of a Geordie accent in it. But it's definitely her. I checked it out.
You've got time on your hands.
Yeah. It's the Emperor and Linda Robson are both in the Lightly Lads movie.
Birds of a Feather.
Jalapeño.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeno.
Have you got a Pauline Quirk Acting Academy near you? Because we've got one near us.
Yeah, I do. And there's ads for it. There's loads of ads. They advertise heavily.
Yeah.
In fact, I want to get involved in their marketing activities.
We could do a Delaney and Dawson podcast academy around the country where every Saturday morning these parents pay us a fiver and we take their kids for 3 hours. Well, we don't do it. Obviously, we franchise it out. And some other cunts take them in and teach them how to do podcasts.
I'll treat it like the fucking scoutmasters used to treat it when you went to scouts or cubs. You fucking, the parents drop the kids off and you're like, yeah, come on in, kids. And you look out the door, right? See that the parents are fucked off to wherever the fuck they're going. And then you're like,
Right, go on. You lot all go out the fucking back and have a fight or a match or something. I'm sitting here. And you pull out your copy of the Daily Mirror, light a fag, put your feet up. And if they make too much noise, you just go out and shout at them. And then we just collect all the money.
You go, right, there's a fucking microphone. There's a fucking laptop. Everyone gather around in a circle and do a fucking podcast. Nothing longer than 40 minutes because it gets boring after that. Fucking go on, do it. I might listen to it if it's good enough.
I'm not fucking joking, mate. We probably could do that.
Yeah.
I mean, podcast camps. Parents, especially if you go and do the rounds of the private schools.
Oh, they'll be banging to that one. Oh, podcasting. Fucking... Yes, I've heard podcasting is big business these days. Yes. Yeah, it's the future exactly. of the media. Oh, you really need to get into that. Yes, go along to their camps and learn how to do that. They look like quite distressed men on the merchandising and the literature, but, you know, we'll give them a go.
Apparently, they're rather successful in their field, although they do. One of them looks, you know, weather-beaten, like Gary Ballister used to look like. But I'm sure it will be fine. The parents just want to fucking get the kids off their hands for a few
exactly.
hours, don't they? Do whatever the fuck
hours.
It is they do. Go to yeah. a fancy restaurant or do cocaine or something.
Just fucking sit around watching the Likely Lads.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, we'll do that then. We'll franchise it out. If you're interested in becoming a franchisee of our podcast camps, get in touch yeah. and we'll fucking.
If you know any gullible
you.
Private school operatives, headmasters, parents, anything like that, put a word in for yeah. us and we'll turn up and do the business.
Anyone you think's susceptible to being manipulated and, let's be honest, fleeced by us, yeah, by all means, do it.
I got my mate. I think I've brought her up before. She's the one. She formerly a girlfriend of one of my best mates, and she's an old mate of mine, and she's the one who used to always cause trouble outside clubs and stuff, like, you know, start on the bouncers
yeah,
and then try
yeah,
to make
her, before, yeah.
her boyfriend get into a fight. It's a nightmare. But she became a teacher at a really really posh school. She was a teacher in state school, and she used to be all political about it, like, you know, you've got to support the state system. And then she suddenly, like, sold out and got a really well-paid job out of the blue at a really posh school that's really near my house. And I didn't say anything about it, you know, whatever. You've all got to make a living, haven't you? But then she asked me to come and give a talk. Obviously, I resent all the kids that go to this posh school, right?
Yeah.
And I, bunch of fucking wankers. There's loads of traffic up the road because they all get driven every day. They all get driven. And many of them in black cabs, right?
Fucking
and
hell,
it
really?
Fucking, yeah, seriously. And it wow. snakes out the gates of this school and down the road. So it causes a big travel, big traffic jam every morning. So really annoying. Anyway, she asked me, she said, listen, I'm teaching media or something. And she said, will you come and talk about the magazine industry and how to be a journalist, blah, 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 blah. And I went, yeah, fine, because she's a mate. And to be honest, I was interested in seeing inside the school.
Yeah.
Because I've walked past it a million times and it fucking looks nice.
You wanted to see how the Lampards lived.
There's two private schools near me. One is very old-fashioned looking and a bit, you know, I mean, it's big and probably nicer than the schools that we went to, but... Yeah, it's a bit old-fashioned, but this one that she invited me to, that she taught at, looks fucking nice. It looks like a nice country club. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
So I thought, yeah, I'll go and have a look at that. Anyway, I turned up fucked. It was a Friday, and it was still in the bad old days, and I'd been out for lunch with some of the lads I was working with, and suffice to say, I had got fucked up in all manner of different ways. Not all of them legal, right?
Full house, was it?
Yeah, it was a full house. And I was up in Camden. I had to get back to fucking where I live. And I've stumbled into the school. And I could see them like, who's this cunt? But I've said, I'm actually here. I've been invited. I'm an important speaker.
Oh my god, it's the Crown Prince of Britpop. What does he want with us?
Then I went into the box and continued to be illegal. But in my mind, I thought I was being a fucking right maverick.
Yeah.
Like, this is how stupid it becomes when you like indulging in too much.
This
of that
is
sort
like
of
when
thing.
The Beatles went to Buckingham Palace and smoked a spliff in the bogs.
That's what I, that was the fucking dialogue going on in my head. This is why it's so fucking stupid. Because in my head, I'm not thinking this is a bit depressing. I'm thinking, rock and roll, up yours, private education.
It's look at me. 64 all over again.
Yeah, I went to a normal school and yet you're fucking inviting me to talk to your fucking kids and tell them how to make a success of themselves. Like me, getting off my face in the toilet. Anyway, I gave the most incomprehensible, rambling fucking explanation of how to write a magazine feature. It was madness. I stood at this fucking whiteboard with a felt, with a marker pen and drew like, it was like a complicated fucking scientific equation in which I was literally explaining how to write 1,000 words in a fucking magazine. It was disastrous, mate. I'm glad those days are behind me.
And have any of those children that were there that day come back to you sort of a little life and going, thanks, you, that, you inspired me that day. I am now successful media.
There was a class of about 12 of them, and I remember them just fucking gawping at me, like rightly thinking, who the fuck is this sad fucking lunatic rambling on like a maniac? Fucking outlining, going off on all sorts of tangents, telling them about business ideas I'd had. Inventions I wanted to create. Nonsense. Complete nonsense.
The long list of things you'll never do.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Let's get back to this Kane thing. Mm. Eric Cantona again comes up. That season where Cantona did his Kung Fu kick and United didn't win the league. It was that season when Blackburn won it. Yeah, Blackburn won it on that final day. Blackburn lost 2-1 at Liverpool, but then United,
West Ham,
of course,
held United
West
to
Ham.
A draw.
Were you there that day?
I was there. Very memorable. Lou Detmick-Klosko had
laugh? Did you have a good laugh at United's expense?
We loved it. We loved it. There was a period where West Ham made a habit of doing things like that. We'd done it to them a few years before when Leeds had won the league. And I think we were already relegated. And I was at that game as well. And we somehow beat United 1-0. Though we'd already been relegated, and it was sort of really annoying. But we kind of revelled in being party poopers, and then we did it again. And I remember it being a party atmosphere. I don't know why, really. At the time, I remember absolutely loving it, like it felt that we'd almost won something. But for some reason as well, there was a lot of disdain. I think it was because of the Paul Ince thing.
Yeah.
There was a lot. Now, there's not a huge amount of animosity between West Ham and Manchester United, I don't think. But back then, I think it was still the Paul Ince thing. They're fucking Judas. Right. They've gone up there, up north, fucking Manchester. Right. And so we were fucking livid about that. And that's what made it so... I think that's what made us so excited about stopping United win the league.
Because a few years ago, the last day of the season, was when Manchester City won the league with that goal by Aguero.
Oh, yeah.
In the last minute. And United, obviously, were top of the team. Would have won if Aguero hadn't scored that goal. And United won 1-0 at Sunderland that day. And their match finished before the City game had finished. So everyone was standing around waiting to see if they'd won the league. Champagne was on ice and all that kind of thing. And then the result came through from City that Aguero had scored. City had won the league. United had it taken away from them. So a lot of the Sunderland fans did the Poznan, which was the Manchester City thing where they all stood fucking their backs to the fans
turned
and jumping
back
up and down.
Yeah.
So we all did that. We thought that was quite funny. And there's still, to this day, Manchester United fans on social media who fucking despise Sunderland and our fans. We get tweets from them saying, you're in League One because you fucking Poznan'd us 7 years ago or whatever. They still fucking get
the fucking
irate
idiots.
About it.
What do they expect you to do? Say hard lines and pat them on the fucking back?
Go around and shake their hands and go, oh, never
is
mind.
Is that what they do?
Maybe you win the league next season. Unlucky. Yeah. Fuck off.
Oh, what a shame. That must be so frustrating.
Yeah.
Don't they understand what football's about?
Exactly. It must be terrible that you haven't won your 17th league title here today. Never mind. There's always next season.
Fuck me.
Meanwhile, we finished fucking 16th again. And it's as high as we'll finish for a decade.
That's a Lampard move.
Isn't it?
But them complaining about that is a pure Lampard move. It's like, listen, you're a football fan. Being a football fan is 90% about having the piss out of other football fans. That's what it's about. That's the game we're engaged in. If you don't want to play, fuck off and support cricket instead.
Exactly.
Right? But this is football, and it's all a fucking laugh. It's all tongue-in-cheek, and we're all ripping the shit out of each other the whole time. fucking grow up. The man,
FIFA. Get FIFA on the line.
We just lost the league, and they have the temerity to turn their backs and laugh. Don't you think that's a bit mean-spirited? It's not very British, is it?
They're doing a dance. They're jumping up and down, laughing in our faces because we haven't won the league championship here today when we thought we had. It's very, very, very unfair. We won't
stop
it.
Stop it right now or you'll be thrown out of the league. I'll see to it. I'll have my father have you thrown out of the league. He knows people, you know.
We've come all this way to your town and we've paid good money for transport and entrance into the ground. We've even taken part in some of your refreshments and activities and things. And now, after you've given us your hospitality, now you've turned around and just laughed at us in our faces. How are we supposed to go back to the train station and the car parks with our heads held high?
You know we're already upset. That's why I'm blinking so much. I'm not crying, you know. I'm just cross, that's all.
We've come a long way. We've come from the south of England for this. It's very, very unkind.
Flip it, stop it right now.
If you can't be polite at football, then where can you be? It's just not good enough.
Fucking hell. Unbelievable.
Yeah, and it still goes on to this day. It still goes on. Every time we lose something big or get relegated, certain United fans come out of the woodwork.
It's really babyish. I remember Steve Bruce held that against West Ham for years. Like, he was managing one of the numerous fucking teams he's managed, and they beat us. And he was like, yeah, it always feels sweet beating West Ham after the way they behaved back in 1995.
Fuck you.
Behaved? You fucking baby. Yeah. It was a football match between two teams in the top flight. You turned up. We fucking stopped you from winning. What the fuck did you... And then all our fans celebrated. You fucking baby, Steve Bruce. That's fucking football. Don't hold it against us. You could have fucking won, but you didn't.
Yeah. It ties in with my theory that the clubs that are kind of the big six and their supporters are all in a cult-like situation and they don't realise it. And they think that they've got a sense of entitlement that everything should go their way. Well, it fucking doesn't work like that. It kind of does work like that because they do generally get their own way. But, you know, when it doesn't, fucking suck it up, lads.
Yeah, exactly. So, it's just the fucking way it goes. Like my mum always says, if you won every week, it'd get boring.
Yeah, exactly.
It's part of the ebb and flow of life.
It is. So that was the end of that season. And, United missed out on the title at Upton Park on the final day. And they then lost 1-0 against Everton in the cup final. Tough shit. You know what I mean? So we'll draw a line under it. There's more about Cantona in the next episode because there's an underlying resentment towards Cantona, which keeps coming up in the next chapter from Roy.
Really?
Yeah, and I think it all harks back to the Kung Fu kick and the missing out.
Really?
I think so. It comes back to the missing out on those two trophies. But,
I think it's because of Cantona let him down by getting suspended.
Exactly.
Fucking hell, this is great.
Yeah.
Has Cantona done it? Well, one day we've got to do a Cantona deep dive, haven't we?
I don't know. There's a book of drawings that he did, wasn't there?
Yeah, we'll do a deep dive into that then.
That'll take 10 minutes because it was a bit thin. But next time, it's Roy versus Eric. Mind games.
Something to look forward to.
All right then, thanks for listening. Ta-da.
See you next time.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.